بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. الحمد لله، Allah has given us this opportunity to share and learn about the lives of the beloveds of Allah Ta'ala. Those lovers of Allah Ta'ala through whom the world came to recognize who Allah Ta'ala is. An amazing report by Hazrat Utbah radiallahu anhu that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إن الله تعالى اختار لي أصحابا. Allah chose my Sahaba radiallahu anhum وجعلهم لي أنصارا ووزراء, and Allah made them my helpers and the bearers of my deen. وزراء, those who carried and those who will carry the responsibility of my deen. فمن سبهم فعليه لعنة الله والملائكة والناس أجمعين. He who degrades them, disregards them, disrespects them, upon him would definitely be Allah's curse, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the curse of all the malaika, and the curse of all Allah's servants, and all Allah's people. وَالنَّاسْ أَجْمَعِينَ أَخْرَجَهُ أَبُو نُعَيْمٍ وَابْنُ مَنْدَى. As Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah says so beautifully, أُولَٰئِكَ أَتْبَاعُ النَّبِيِّ وَحِزْبِهِ وَلَوْلَاهُمُ مَا كَانَ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْلِمُ وَلَوْلَاهُمُ كَادَتْ تَمِيدُ بِأَهْلِهَا وَلَكِنْ رَوَاسِيهَا وَأَوْتَادُهَا هُمُ وَلَوْلَاهُمُ كَانَ الظَّلَامًا بِأَهْلِهَا وَلَكِنْ هُمُ فِيهَا بُدُورٌ وَأَنْجُمُ. Those أولئك, those are the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his sahaba, وحزبه, and they are his people, they are his group, they are his party, they are his followers. If it wasn't for them, meaning the sahaba, the glorious sahaba radiyallahu anhum, there would not be any Muslim on this earth. Leave that, if it wasn't for them, the earth would have been crushed already. كَادَتْ تَمِيدُ بِأَهْلِهَا. The earth would have shaken and cleft asunder and ended, because no one would have recognized Allah had it not been for them. So it is them who are those pegs and firmly embedded mountains that actually keep this earth stable. And not just the mountain that we see in front of us, but it is the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If it wasn't for them, there would be utter darkness in this earth. And it is them who are the bright shining lanterns and the beautiful moon and the stars. So the moon and the stars are the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَلَكِنْ هُمُ فِيهَا بُدُورٌ وَأَنْجُمُ. Allah give us tawfiq. We are to discuss a great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, one of the earliest Muslims, one of the earliest of those who embraced Islam. But seldomly do we take his name. And from him, inshallah, we would then discuss other sahaba radiyallahu anhum who took Islam into Roman territory, sacrificing everything for humanity to receive the deen of Allah Ta'ala. Wherever they were sent, wherever they were designated, in whichever direction they were sent and assigned to go, they were readily, happily available to impart the deen of Allah, sacrificing everything for humanity to gain Allah Ta'ala's nearness, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala's closeness. This Sahabi's name is none other than Hazrat Khalid bin Sa'id bin Aas radiyallahu anhu. We all know Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu anhu. This is a very senior Khalid. Nay, his daughter Amma radiyallahu anha, Amatullah Amma radiyallahu anha says, my father was the fifth to embrace Islam. And he was the first Sahabi to write down Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Anyway, how did he embrace Islam? What was the environment like at that time in the initial stages? One night in Mecca, everything was calm, everything was serene. Sa'id bin Aas bin Umayyah, who was titled Abu Uhayha, he leaves his dwellings, he leaves his vicinity, his palace in the area called Hajun, going towards the Kaaba Sharif. He adorned himself with his expensive red turban, wearing a shawl similar to that of the Yemeni kings. It was embroidered with gold and all sorts of embroidery. With him were his servants and slaves, all well guarded and armed. Amongst them were his children. Amongst those children was a man by the name of Khalid. On the one side were his tribesmen. They were the offspring. They were the people of Abd Shams. Remember this name, Abd Shams. We learn Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's lineage, Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib ibn Hashim ibn Abdi Manaf, then Qusay ibn Kilab ibn Murra. Remember Abd Manaf? Abd Manaf's children were, number one, Hashim. Number two, Nawfal. Abd Shams and Muttalib. Anyway, his people were the Abd Shams people. This man was known by the title Abu Uhayha. He was so famous, he was given another title called Dhu-Taj. And the reason for that title, Dhu-Taj, the man of the crown, is because when he donned himself with a certain colored turban, no one had the courage of wearing the same color. And if anyone had to wear the same color, he had to remove it immediately, meaning that individual. As Abu Uhayha takes his seat by the Kaaba, there the seniors of Makkah, namely Abu Sufyan bin Harb, Utbah bin Rabi'ah, Abu Jahl bin Hisham, and all the seniors come to greet him. And now he poses this question to them. What is this that I hear Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas and few others have started to emulate Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And now there was an argument between Sa'ad and someone, and then there was a fight that broke out, and Sa'ad shed his blood, or struck him on the head, that his blood was shed, or blood started leaking out. And then Abu Uhayha said, I take oath by the names of my deities. He took his oaths at that time, namely Lat and Uzza. If you all remain taking this matter in jest and not taking up this matter seriously, just because you worried about Banu Hashim, I myself will sort them out. لَأَنْهَضَنَّ لَهُ وَحْدِي. And I will make sure that the God, Ilah, the God of Ibn Abi Kabsha, will never be worshipped in Makkah again. Now he spoke very disrespectfully, in a derogatory manner. وَلَأَمْنَعَنَّ إِلَهَ ابْنَ أَبِي كَبْشَةَ. They would refer to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a manner of disdain, where they said, the son of Abu Kabsha. Abu Kabsha was the husband of Halima Sa'diyah radiallahu anha, where Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was there during his suckling period. So they would sometimes refer to him like that to degrade him, because his father Abdullah and his mother Amina and his grandfather sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's grandfather Abdul Muttalib were noblemen. So they would find different means of trying to degrade the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anyway, in that, he gets up, he joins, his people join him, his parade, and now he departs from there. The only one that stayed behind was his son Khalid. Now Khalid was a youngster. He went to sit with others, and he's trying to gather information about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He can't understand the extent of the hatred that his father bears regarding the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was a youngster with a pure heart. Anyway, that night he returned home. He did not muster up the courage to even go greet his father that evening. He went straight to his bedding, to his room, and he tried to sleep. But sleep did not come to him. The entire night he was restless. And what was occupying his mind was none other than Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anyway, then came in the last portion of the night. It was tahajjud time. It was that time when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would wake up and make dua for humanity's hidayat. He would cry to Allah for humanity to get hidayat. That portion of the night when sleep came to Khalid, and he then slept and went into a deep sleep. فَأَسْلَمَ جَفْنَيْهِ لِلْكَرَىٰ. And not long after that, he woke up in a shock. He was shocked because of what he had seen in his dream. As soon as he saw this, he said, I take oath by Allah that this dream is true. أَحْلِفُ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ هَذِهِ الرُّؤْيَا لَرُؤْيَا حَقٍّ. What I have seen is certainly true. What he saw was, he found himself standing on the edge of a valley of Jahannam, a pit of hell that was so deep that
that he could not see its depths. He could not see how deep it was. And it was blazing. وَكَانَتْ تَتَلَظَّى. And the fire was sounding severe sounds of the breath of a fire. And it was tearing his heart apart. And he tried to escape this fire. And every time he tried to take a different direction, he finds his father grabbing him harshly, trying to push him into this pit. And as he would try to resist and save himself, his father would continuously push him further. And as he was about to fall into this pit, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam rushes and comes to the rescue, grabbing him and pulling him out of the pit. And then Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam grabbed his waist with both his hands and with severity pulled him out and rescued him from the depths of this pit of hell. This was the dream he saw. As soon as he got up, he went straight to none other than Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, a man loved by all and a man who was a master in the interpretation of dreams. There's so many reports where different people, no matter what problem they faced, they came to Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Allah make us of those people who love to solve the problems of people. Allah make us of those who will alleviate the troubles of others, the pangs of others, the difficulties humanity faces. May Allah make us of those who alleviate the problems of humanity. May Allah save us from ever causing pain to anyone. Let's be like Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and all the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. When it comes to Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, there's so many occasions where Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would help people in different ways. He would set them up. He would help them, because he was a man who emulated the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam ditto. There's so many occasions where people came with their dreams to Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and he would lovingly, accurately interpret their dreams. And there's so many reports like this in the ahadith and in the seerah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the history of Sahaba, where Hazrat Abu Bakr would interpret the dreams. And obviously Allah Ta'ala blessed him with this, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught him and guided him further on how to enhance the skill of interpreting dreams. Anyway, when he narrated this dream to Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and righteous people see dreams that are actually quite clear, the meanings are very, very apparent. Not anybody can just interpret a dream. It is something quite intricate. It is a science. It is a field. It has a lot to do with experience, and it has a lot to do with spirituality as well. Anyway, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu interpreted his dream, and in turn gave him the dawah, saying to him that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the one who will save you, and this deen will triumph and conquer, and deen will be victorious no matter how much the mushrikeen try. Your father also will try and take you to the pit of hell, but you follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah will open the doors of Jannah for you, and Allah will protect you from the fire of Jahannam that even your father wants to throw you in. Anyway, this was clear to Hazrat Khalid radiallahu anhu. He rushed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. At that time, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was busy in ibadat in one of the valleys of Makkah called Ajyad. That's not far from the Haram. He greeted the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then he said, O Nabi of Allah, ila ayyi shayin tad'una, what is your da'wat? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave him full da'wat. Ad'ukum, I give you da'wat to Allah. Bring iman in Allah, that Allah is one. Allah has no partner. Allah has no partner. And I am the messenger of Allah. I am the servant of Allah. And I teach you and advocate to you. وَأَن تَخْلَعُوا. Remove from your life worship of any image or stone or anything. Because all makhluqat, لا يضر ولا ينفع, cannot harm you nor benefit you. All these creation can do nothing for you. They cannot even recognize those who worship it from those who don't. And he gave him the full da'wat of iman and the da'wat of tawheed, that Allah is doing everything and creation can do nothing. Our allegiance must be to Allah alone. Our reliance must be in Allah alone. And we must see everything happening from Allah alone. As these words and this message and this da'wat was presented to Hazrat Khalid radiallahu anhu, his expressions changed. Sweetness of Iman permeated his heart. فَمْبَسَطَتْ أَسَارِيرُ خَالِدٍ He started smiling and he was joyful and he immediately uttered the kalima, أَشْهَدُ أَلَّا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَنَّكَ عَبَدُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُهُ He said, I bear witness that لا إله إلا الله And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. And he was among the early Muslims. So Hazrat Khalid bin Sa'id bin As radiallahu anhu was, one report, the fifth or the sixth to embrace Islam. His daughter Hazrat Amma binti Khalid radiallahu anha, she says, she was known as Ummu Khalid. Now she was that Sahabiyah. We all learn about Sahaba. The last Sahabiyah to remain in this world. And to leave this world was the daughter of Hazrat Khalid radiallahu anhu. She says, my father was the fifth Muslim. So her student said, I asked her, who was there before him? So she said, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu. So she was referring to the men folk. Otherwise there was Bilal radiallahu anhu as well, and there was Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha as well. So this is according to her information. But what happened was, this is the approximate number, either the fifth, the sixth, or the seventh. But in the early stages, Hazrat Khalid bin Sa'id radiallahu anhu had embraced Islam. May Allah give us tawfiq also to share Islam with people. Alhamdulillah, recently, 2 days ago, there was a couple, Alhamdulillah, who just from Hinduism uttered the kalima, they embraced Islam. It was 2 years ago when this individual, his sister passed away, Auntie Sakun. She embraced Islam years ago from Denhauser, and she had concealed her deen because of her father-in-law and so forth. Then years later her husband became Muslim, her son became Muslim. Then it was her, she had passed away 2 years ago. So Alhamdulillah, the Muslims attended her janazah and so forth. Our sisters did her burial, her kafan, her dafan. A lot of her non-Muslim family members attended and they wanted to hear what we had to say. So Allah gave the opportunity where we shared with them that how wise was she as a woman, that she chose Allah's pleasure over what people say. People say, don't change your life. And sometimes we don't change because we worry what people are going to say. So I said, see her, how wise was she, that she embraced Islam and she didn't worry what people had to say about it, but she considered what the Almighty says, what Allah says. Now she's gone to Allah, Allah is going to take care of her. Among the people listening there was her brother. And her brother, an elderly man, he joined us to the masjid. He went to the Qabristan, and just a few days ago, he embraced Islam with the karam and the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then there was a friend of ours 2 weeks ago who passed away, Brother Afdal. A wonderful brother, a brother who was paband with his namaz and daily would make tilawat of 5 juz of Qur'an al-Kareem a day. Anyway, his janazah was late at night. It was 11:30 on a Saturday night, 2 Saturdays ago. So I remember attending this janazah, and not far from where I was standing was a few brothers who were Hindu. Anyway, they were standing aside. They came to show respects. So we just made them welcome. We said, don't worry, you are also our brothers. Come. Don't worry, nobody will tell you anything. They felt so comfortable. I noticed the one cried profusely. So I said, is everything okay? He says, no, I'll remember this brother. He was so close to us. He was so kind to us. Anyway, we spoke to them about Islam. The one was so interested in deen that actually as we left, he asked for the Quran. I gave him a translation of the Quran. By this time, it was like 1:30. By the time we finished discussing, he took the Quran Kareem translation. And then that next Monday, he sent a message appreciating the Quran Kareem. On Friday, he messaged saying, please, I would love to visit. We said, please come. It's a Friday. Come join us for Jumu'ah. We'll have lunch together. He says, today I'm busy. I'll come on Monday. When he came on Monday, he sat, we spoke. Then we went home. We had a Jamaat for lunch. He joined us for lunch as well. Few hours later, he embraced Islam. Alhamdulillah, the whole week he's been coming to the masjid. Alhamdulillah. Then it was this Saturday, I was sitting in the masjid and this brother walks in with sunnat libas, with a topi, and he's so interested. He was so interested in Islam. He was so enthusiastic and so happy that he's a Muslim. Alhamdulillah. Humanity is waiting. It's a time where humanity is all looking for someone to save them, show them solutions. We are Muslims, we have the solutions. Let's not keep it to ourselves. Quran and Sunnah is the solution for humanity's guidance. It's the solution to every problem. Let's share this beautiful deen with the whole of humanity. The time is suitable. It's a time where humanity is looking for answers. They're looking for the help of Allah. They're looking for guidance. You know many that others don't know. Others know many that others don't know. Let's share the message of deen wisely, politely, and directly to one and all. Present the message of deen to the whole of humanity. Make it available to them. So at least on the Day of Judgment, we have an answer that, oh Allah, we shared your deen with humanity. Allah give us tawfiq. Now Hazrat Khalid radiallahu anhu started joining Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more often. He wasn't to be found in his father's palatial palace. He left and denounced the life of luxury and opulence, and he chose the life of sacrifice and sincerity and abstinence from the luxuries of this world. He would join Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he would go with Allah's Nabi wherever ta'lim was taking place, wherever ibadat was taking place, wherever the discussions of iman was taking place. Because remember, during the Meccan stage, even the verses of Quran were all about iman, the incidents of the Anbiya alayhi wasallam, preservation of iman, protecting iman. And when they would meet in Darul Nadwa, when they would meet in Darul Arqam, where the halaqa of ta'lim was taking place, that first markaz and maktab and khanqa that was there in Hazrat Arqam radiallahu anhu's house, in that madrasa, the teachings would be of iman. Much later with the injunctions of sharia come. Yes, there was nawafil, there was some salah and so forth, but the main effort was the effort of iman. The injunctions of salah, the five salah, was prescribed during the mi'raj, which was much later. This is still the early Meccan stage. So he would join Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now his father, every time his father looks for him, he doesn't find him. Father got upset. Father searched for him, didn't find him. Father sent some spies to watch him and follow him. And then they came with the information. And even some of the brothers of Hazrat Khalid brought the information to their father that yes, he now had embraced Islam and he's joining Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His father went into a fit of rage. Junna junoonu Sayyidi Makkata. He went into a fit of rage. He didn't expect that his own son would muster up the guts and the courage to go against his authority and denounce Lat and Uzza and join Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this was the oath taken by his father, that he himself will stop the effort of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and stop the worship of Allah Ta'ala. And now it's his own son. So anyway, he sent his slave Rafi' and his two other sons Aban and Umar to find his son Khalid and grab him and bring him back to the father. They found him in salah. Such a salah, subhanallah, such a salah. Salatan hazzat qulubahum hazza. A salah that shocked them, that filled their hearts with contentment and iman, filled their hearts with peace. This is how beautiful is our deen. Every aspect of our deen is from Allah. It has peace, it has the answers. Anyway, they see him pray. Then they say to him, because the salah shocked them, your father is waiting for you and he's very upset because you left the home without his permission. Hazrat Khalid goes to his father and he greets his father with salam. His father says, woe to you, what is this that you are telling me? Have you denounced the faith of the creed of your forefathers and you follow this Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Hazrat Khalid says, lam asba, I have not become an irreligious man, father. I have brought iman. Iman in Allah alone. That Allah has no partner. And I believe in the prophethood and the finality of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All I am doing is, I have denounced from my life the worship of any image or idol or creation. His father says, what? Woe to you! Are you saying that you followed this false claimer? Hazrat Khalid says, he's not falsely claiming. He's true. He's conveying the messages of Allah. And he's sincere and loyal. And he's true to me and you, father. And he's true and sincere to the whole of humanity. His father says, no. You have to denounce his teachings. You have to leave him and forsake him and come back to your forefather's creed. His father couldn't take the disgrace. He thought it was a disgrace. Hazrat Khalid says, radiallahu anhu, "Father, with all due respect, I'll never denounce my iman. As long as my blood will flow, as long as my veins are functioning, as long as my heart is beating, I'll never leave my iman." His father says, "Then you'll not get a cent from me." "Idhan ahrimaka min rizqi." He says, "Father, there's nothing else that I expect. That's what I was expecting. And I don't mind. Allah is providing for me. And the Allah who gave you, my father, is the same Allah who will give me. Ya Allah, ye iman." This is Sahaba's iman. Such iman. That a man he feared most, but for Allah's sake. A man where sustenance was coming to him from. The richest in Makkah. But he leaves all of that. He sacrifices all of that for Allah's pleasure, for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's sunnah, and for akhirah. Allahu Akbar. His father went into a fit of rage and tortured him and beat him up where blood was flowing from his body. His head was fractured. Limbs were broken. He was bleeding profusely. And then his father got him shackled and tied up into a dungeon beneath his palace. He was deprived of food for 3 days. And then when they came to him to ask him on the fourth, "How are you, Khalid?" He said, "I am in the favors of Allah. I am in the favors of Allah. I am in the favors of Allah." They say to him, "We give you advice. Come back to your senses. Listen to your father." He says, "I am in my senses. I am in my senses. Allah's fadl, my senses never ever left me. As for my father, I will listen to him as long as it's not contrary to the pleasure of my Allah." They said to him, "Okay, just tell him something good. Tell your father something nice about Lat and Uzza. Make him happy. We can't see you suffer like this." He said, "I must say something about Lat and Uzza for him to alleviate. First of all, Allah will alleviate my challenge. Number two, Lat and Uzza are creation that are deaf, that can't do, and my Allah is doing. I cannot say something contrary to the truth. I will only say what pleases my Allah and what pleases my Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let him do what he likes. Let him do what he likes." And daily this would happen thereafter, that Hazrat Khalid radiallahu anhu, from his shackles, he would be taken out into the heat of Makkah, and he would be stoned, and he would be hurt, and he would be tortured. And in this he would say, "Allah, I thank you, Allah. You blessed me with Iman. You honored me with Islam. Oh my Allah, save me, save us from Jahannam. Oh Allah, save us from Jahannam. The same Jahannam that my father wants to throw me into. Ya Allah, save us from Jahannam. And reward my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your beloved Nabi, on my behalf and on the whole Ummah's behalf. Allah, you reward him. Allah, you reward him abundantly." Ye hai Iman. Ye hai Iman. I'm remembering this incident of this young man. Comes from the Durban region. His father, prominent person. This youngster was restless, looking for answers. Anyway, he went to his pandit and asked him that, "You know what, can you solve my problem? I find this restlessness." This man says, "Put down the money, I'll help you." He says, "Where can truth be in this?" Then he goes to his mother's religion, looking for the priest. Mother's a Christian. Goes to him. There he finds also a lot of that whatever he said didn't make sense. Anyway, in this, he met some friends who told him about Allah. He started coming to the masjid. He started coming and he found peace. His friend told him, "When you're ready to take the step, remember, Allah Ta'ala will bless you. Allah will open your way. But this is also a path of test. Tests will come, but Allah will alleviate your tests. Allah will remove your difficulties." He just thought about it. He got ready. And alhamdulillah, he embraced Islam. He would fast, it was Ramadan, he would go to the masjid. His house has a lift in it, so he wouldn't go for Fajr out of worry that his father mustn't hear the lift and doubt where is his son off to. Father didn't know that he was Muslim. And daily he would come to the masjid. Until one day, someone took a photograph of him in the masjid and sent it to his father And the saddest part was, obviously, this is a Muslim that would do such a thing. Allah save us. How sad it is. We mentioned last week, sometimes a Muslim can spy against a Muslim and spy against the deen for some worldly trifling or some favor of someone or to harm the deen of Allah Ta'ala. Allah save us of such practices, such ways. These are really despicable practices. Anyway, his father got to know now that his son became Muslim. His father kicked him out of his home. He tolerated all of that. He was on the streets. Allah opened his way. He opened a business. Allah took him so high. Alhamdulillah, he married a Muslim girl. Allah blessed him, beautiful Muslim children. Years later, his father calls him back. And Alhamdulillah, he lives in those quarters, because in his father's home, there's different quarters, with his wife, with his children, Alhamdulillah. And his father is very, very close to deen. Then, Alhamdulillah, his brother embraced Islam. So Allah is the giver of hidayat. Those tests and examinations come. That's why we must be there for our brothers. We have to help the people of Iman. We have to support one another. We have to encourage one another. We have to be there for one another. We learn this from Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was there for everyone. In this difficulty that Hazrat Khalid radiallahu anhu was going through, the torture that his father put him through, he found a manner in which he could escape, and he escaped, alhamdulillah, and he joined the Muslims making hijrah in the path of Allah Ta'ala. Anyway, not long after that, his brother Amr joined him. Aban also embraced Islam, but Amr joined him in Abyssinia. So he left with the Muslims to Abyssinia. But before this, something very, very interesting happened. That his father left Makkah because of this disgrace, that his sons all had become Muslim. And then he went to an outlying area, some reports say near Ta'if or in Ta'if, because he had a lot of wealth in Ta'if and in Makkah. So he took his wealth and he went to Ta'if. And he made a strong intention, saying, and then he got ill. And his father said that if I get better, I will make sure that this religion will be vanquished and destroyed. La yu'bad ilahu ibn Abi Kabsha. And in a very disrespectful manner, he referred to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying that the God of the son of Abu Kabsha. Anyway, someone told his son, Hazrat Khalid radiallahu anhu, this is the intentions and the determinations of your father. So he said, oh Allah, he's trying to destroy your deen. You don't alleviate his sickness. Allah, take him away. Look at Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Their priority was deen. No matter who it was, if someone wants to harm the deen of Allah Ta'ala, Sahaba radiallahu anhum understood that priority and their goal and objective is the deen of Allah Ta'ala. Anyway, the Sahabi radiallahu anhu leaves for Abyssinia with his brother, with his wife, Hazrat Umayma. This is the preferred view. Ibn Manda says, one report says her name was Amina binti Khalaf. The preferred view, Umayma binti Khalaf al-Khuza'iyya, from the Khuza'i tribe. Anyway, he went with his wife to Abyssinia with Hazrat Ja'far radiallahu anhu and Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu, and they spent a life of worshipping Allah under the protection of Najashi, who also had later embraced Islam and granted the Muslims protection. The Muslims established their deen there, spread Islam there. Allah blessed him with children there in Abyssinia. His famous son, Sa'id. His son's name was Sa'id bin Khalid. His Hazrat Khalid, this is Hazrat Sa'id, his son. And his daughter, Amma binti Khalid. Amma radiallahu anhuma. These children of his were born there in Abyssinia. And during the Medinan period, it was during the Battle of Khaybar, when they returned from Abyssinia. When he returned to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so happy. And he made a special share of the booty for Hazrat Khalid radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So he remained with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam throughout, joining Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every expedition. Then when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this transitory world, Hazrat Khalid was in the path of Allah. He was sent to Yemen and the Madhij region. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent him to teach deen there and run the affairs of the Muslims there, teaching them about zakat, about the aspects of Islam, collecting the zakat, putting it in the correct avenues. So he was out in Allah's way already when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam departed from this transitory world. Then when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left, he returned to Madinah Munawwarah. and came to give report to Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and then he was sent again in the path of Allah, because now there was a need in the Roman lands. So he was among the first Sahaba to be sent into the Levant area, Sham. He went in the path of Allah Ta'ala. With him was his son, and they strove. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu told him how to integrate, how to deal with the people. And as they were trying to establish deen in these regions, there was a lot of danger, and their numbers were small. And when he wrote the report, Kar Guzari, to Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu realized that there's a lot of danger there. That was when Hazrat Shurahbil bin Hasana radiallahu anhu, inshallah, this section of the history we'll discuss under these Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Hazrat Shurahbil bin Hasana radiallahu anhu saw that famous dream that we will discuss. And Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was inspired to send Sahaba in the path of Allah. Then Sahaba radiallahu anhum was sent. Very senior Sahaba were chosen. Hazrat Amr bin As radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Yazid bin Abi Sufyan radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Shurahbil bin Hasana radiallahu anhu, and Hazrat Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhum was sent in the path of Allah. The guidelines Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu gave them, the hidayat, is reported in history books, such amazing hidayat. In any way, they went in the path of Allah Ta'ala. But during these expeditions already in these territories of the Levant and Sham, on one occasion, Hazrat Khalid radiallahu anhu's son was attacked by the enemy Mahan, and his son became shaheed. And then when the Muslims arrived, he joined them. And Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu realized that the Romans were gathering such large numbers, numbering 250,000, to fight the Muslims. And the Muslims were few in number. When all the Sahaba radiallahu anhum gathered together, they only reached, and then Hazrat Khalid radiallahu anhu joined them, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, they only reached the number 40,000. Anyway, then these famous expeditions took place, namely Yarmouk, Ajnadin, Marjus Suffar. What happened then was, Hazrat Ikrima radiallahu anhu became shaheed in one of these expeditions. And then later on, there was another expedition, Marjus Suffar, where Hazrat Khalid bin Sa'id radiallahu anhu proposed for the widow of Hazrat Ikrima radiallahu anhu. She was out of her iddah and so forth, and then he wedded her. This was the practice in the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. When a Sahabi became shaheed and his wife was left in this world and his children were still in this world, there were many Sahaba who proposed for her so that they can take care of all her needs and her children's needs. This was Sahaba radiallahu anhum's great practice that they learned from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sadly, this practice is not prevalent today. It has come out from the ummah. There's so much of stigma that is placed. And then also, many a time, Sahaba radiallahu anhum didn't do it for lust. Sahaba radiallahu anhum did it to uplift the society, to protect Muslim women, and so many were becoming shaheed. Allah Ta'ala helped the ummah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in times like today. Anyway, he just got married to Ummu Hakim radiallahu anha. Ummu Hakim radiallahu anha was the wife and the widow of Hazrat Ikrima radiallahu anhu. His nikah was just done with her, and the next day was an expedition. Our time has elapsed. We will continue with the discussion of these Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Hazrat Ikrima radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Khalid bin Sa'id bin As radiallahu anhu, as we just discussed, Hazrat Shurahbil bin Hasana radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Muthanna bin Harith al-Shaybani radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. Through their great sacrifices, Islam reached the four corners of the world. Allah Ta'ala help us in these trying times, that we must protect our iman, and we have to worry about the iman of the whole of humanity. We have to worry about the iman of our progenies. We have to worry about iman of our children. Let's establish the halaqa of ta'aleem daily in our homes. Let's learn about Sahaba radiallahu anhum daily in our homes. Let's encourage our children. Let's learn more. Let's protect our iman. Let's preserve our iman. Iman has to be protected. Islam, iman demands an effort, a continuous 24/7 effort all the time, so that we can leave this world with iman. Allah give us tawfiq. Let's read three quls for this sahabi and all the sahaba radiyallahu anhum. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil ummi bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.